Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Reflections. And with us here, as usual, we have Dr. Zaghloul Nagar from the Islamic Council. And also we have Ihab and Ibrahim. You're most welcome. You're most welcome, sir. Dr. Nagar, from your point of view, what is the most outstanding verse that you are going to discuss with us here in today's episode?
I start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord and the Creator, the Lord of the universe, and sending Allah's peace and blessings on Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and greeting you and our audience in our Islamic way. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace, blessings, and mercy be with you all. I think we have mentioned before more than once that the glorious Quran is the only form of divine guidance within the hands of man today that has been kept intact in exactly the same language of revelation, the Arabic language, preserved by the will of Allah, word to word and letter to letter. And this is simply because of the fact that the glorious Quran is the last form of divine guidance to man, because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the seal of prophethood. There are no prophets after him, no messengers after him, and Allah, out of his own justice, said, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We were not to punish without sending a messenger. So preserving the glorious Quran within the hands of people for more than 14 centuries ago simulates the presence of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within our own community, preaching the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the world at large. And we said that the Quran, being the word of Allah in its divine purity, it has to be absolutely correct, absolutely perfect, because this is the word of the Creator. And we also mentioned that the glorious Quran is basically a book of guidance to man in areas that cannot be correctly addressed by man, such as the area of faith, the area of acts of worship, the area of the moral code, and the area of the code of transactions with others. These four basic areas cannot be correctly addressed by man, and hence the need for religion, because man cannot live peacefully and happily and correctly on the surface of that planet without the divine guidance, because the world is full of unknowns and unseens around us. We also mentioned that in as much as Allah is one, without parallels, partners, or similars, or associates, his guidance to man has to be one. This guidance was revealed by or to a large number of prophets, and about 315 messengers were chosen from amidst that large number of prophets, and the message was invariably the same, teaching humanity to worship Allah the Creator without parallels, partners, or similars. أن يعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. So beside this main message of the Quran, faith, acts of worship, the moral code, the code of transactions with others, we find that the Quran speaks about a large number of components of that universe. It speaks about the earth, the moon, the sun, the stars, the planets, the constellations. It speaks about many phenomena around us: wind, clouds, running water, ice, many of the plants on earth, many of the animals on earth. And when we look into these verses, we can clearly see that these verses do not come down as pieces of scientific information per se, because Allah knows that the human brain cannot perceive scientific information in one go. Man needs to look and meditate, to examine and experiment and observe and then conclude. And in that way he can comprehend, he can understand the world around himself. So when we look into these cosmic verses in the Quran, we can see that they have three basic messages. First of all, they come in the context of testifying to the true nature of the Creator, that he is the only deity to this in this universe. He is one without parallels, partners, or similars, because he has created everything in that universe in pairs, from the elementary particles to man, so that he can be exalted alone above all his creation in his singularity. Secondly, these verses come to testify to the fact that everything in that universe was created by that great creator. Thirdly, inasmuch as he has created, he has the capacity to annihilate his creation and to resurrect everything in one go. These are the three basic messages of the cosmic verses in the glorious Quran. And recently we came to realize that there is a fourth message, and this is an address to the people of our time. We came to realize that these cosmic verses are also an address to the people of our time, people that have been engulfed into scientific research, and they became fascinated with the results of scientific achievements. And of course, they want the scientific proof for everything they discuss. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept these cosmic verses in a very highly precise scientific language that can testify to everybody that this book cannot be the work of man. And one of these topics in the Quran are the notion of animals in the Quran. And we'll start by a verse that came in Surah Al-An'am, verse number 32, Surah Al-An'am, which reads, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ يُحْشَرُونَ. This is really one of the very precise scientific notions in the Quran. It reads, there is not a single trotter on earth, nor a bird flying with its own wings in the sky, but they are communities like yourself, or nations like yourselves, addressing man. مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Verily, we have not forgotten anything out of the book, or neglected anything out of the book. ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يُحْشَرُونَ. And then afterwards, they will all be gathered to their creator. They will be resurrected and gathered to their creator. When you read this verse, we find that it is the basis of what we call today the science of taxonomy, the science of classification of the living beings. وَمَا مِنْ دَبَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ. There's not a single trotter on earth. وَلَا طَائِرٍ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ. Nor even a bird flying with its own wings, but they are nations like yourselves. Today we realize that we know about 1.5 million different species of living beings, animals and plants. And when we add to this number the fossil record, we find, and the rate of discovery every year, scientists claim that the number of living species will rise to about 5 million species, at least. Each species is represented by billions of individuals. And we have varieties under the species, and then we have the individuals. We have also males and females. So we cannot study these beings unless we classify them into groups. So unless man can classify these living forms into groups that are interrelated with each other in their outward morphology and in their inward anatomy. You see, I cannot study them. How could I study every single individual of these living forms? So man discovered the science of taxonomy, how we can classify, how can we group the related species together into different units. We have kingdom, subkingdom, phylum, subphylum, class, subclass, order, suborder, family, subfamily, genus, subgenus, species, subspecies, variety, and individual. So this is the hierarchy of the classification of the living forms. And the species has been defined as individuals that are morphologically similar to each other and anatomically similar to each other, and they can interbreed, giving fertile young. They can intermarry and interbreed to give a fertile young. If they do not give a fertile young, they are not of the same species. So this hierarchy of classification is outlined in this, in very simple words, in this verse. Allah is telling us there is not a single animal or creature or trotter on earth, nor a bird flying in the sky with its own wings, but they are communities or nations like yourselves, like the human nations, nations of humanity. They are communities or nations like yourselves. Verily, we have not neglected anything in the book, meaning the glorious Quran. Then all these creatures will be, after their death, will be resurrected and will be gathered for their Lord. This is the first understanding from the verse, that, O man, understand clearly that you cannot group the living forms without classifying them into nations. Secondly, it can nullify completely the theory of evolution. If humanity, with their different colors of the skin, their different hair colors, their different eye colors, their different languages, and their different beliefs, can be grouped into one species. So every single community of these living forms can be grouped as a single species. So there cannot be interrelationship between one species and the other to give a fertile young. There cannot be. So every single species was created as an entity by itself. And this nullifies the theory of organic evolution, which has destroyed the beliefs of many people on the surface of our planet. Thirdly, when the Quran says, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِشَيْءٍ, verily, we have not neglected anything from the book, from the glorious Quran, many people misconceived this verse. They say the Quran contains everything. And I find people coming, did the Quran speak about dinosaurs? I say, no. Why should the Quran speak about dinosaurs? Did the Quran speak about airplanes? Did the Quran speak about rockets and space travel? No. Because the Quran is basically a book of guidance to man in areas that cannot be clearly and correctly addressed by man. These examples of cosmic verses are just examples. It does not cover everything. Examples to testify to the scientific precision of the glorious Quran. The verse means, or this part of the verse means, in areas of the divine guidance, the Quran did not neglect anything. As much as divine guidance would go, the Quran has clarified everything. But in areas of acquired knowledge, in which man can use his intellect and his senses to perceive, Allah has given us only examples. And what testifies for this is that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is quoted to have said that Allah has sent more than 120,000 prophets, 124,000 prophets for the guidance of man. And Allah has selected out of that large number of prophets 315 messengers. The Quran speaks about only 25 messengers. The Quran does not speak about all the messengers, because Allah is giving examples. Anything outside the area of guidance for the correct religion is only given as examples. Science, examples. History, examples. Moral guidance is detailed. Belief is detailed. Faith is detailed. Acts of worship is detailed. Transactions with people is detailed. But things that can be acquired by men, such as science, literature, technology, history, this is left to man. And we only can get examples to testify to the scientific precision of the Quran. The third point is that the verse emphasizes the fact that every living being will die. And after death, every being that lived on that planet will be resurrected. And after resurrection, there will be accountability and judgment and eternity in life to come, either in paradise forever or in hell forever. And these are the lessons that can be gained from this verse that came, verse number 32 in Surah Al-An'am. And if you have any queries, I will be glad to answer.
Yes. Dr. Nagar, what is the lesson that humanity or all the humanity should learn from the capability of Almighty God by creating all those species of animal?
First of all, every single species of the living beings plays a role on the surface of that planet. Every single species, Allah has given it a role to play on the surface of that planet, either as food for man or food for other forms of animals, or it plays a role to clean the environment. There are certain animals, like the pig, for example. I was asked by many people, if the pig is that dangerous, why did Allah create it? Allah created the pig as a tool for cleaning the filth from the surface of that planet. It's not to be bred in human communities, because we'll get this pig fever. It's to be left in nature. It's not bred. It's not really wise to make pig farms amidst living communities of human beings. It's very dangerous. Allah has created it to be a wild animal, not to be domesticated. Leave it to clean the environment. So every single creature Allah has created plays a definite role in this life. Either it is an edible food for man, or a suitable food for other animals, or it plays a role in the cleaning of the environment from different waste, or probably plays a role even in something we do not know of yet.
Dr. Omamun Amthalukum, in what extent those nations of birds and animals are similar to the human beings?
They are similar in the fact that the pattern of the build-up of the body is very similar, because the creator is one. If I look, for example, for a living plant cell and a living animal cell, I find very many different, very many similar points, and there are slight differences, you see. If I look for the building body, the anatomy of a horse, for example, or the anatomy of a pig, or the anatomy of a monkey, it's very similar to the anatomy of man, but there are great differences. The right up posture of man, the different relationships of the body to the skull, the length of the arms and the legs, the size of the chest, there are differences, but the plan is the same, because the Creator is one. So He has created everything on the same plan to testify to His unity.
Yes, Doctor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the end of this verse, ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ مَحْشَرُونَ. Can we understand from this point that all animals will be punished?
No. You see, they will be resurrected, and of course they will be changed into dust, because we do not need them in paradise, inshallah. But there is a saying by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there will be a revenge from an animal who carried out a transgression against another animal.
Yeah.
This will take place for the divine justice. But they, of course, they are not responsible for their own acts and deeds as man is responsible.
Yes. Okay. Dr. Nagar, tell us more, why are specific kinds were mentioned in the Holy Quran rather than other?
Of course, Quran is absolute wisdom. If the Quran has mentioned certain animals or certain insects or certain birds, you see, there must be a specific character that Allah would like to direct our attention to it. When the Quran speaks about ants, for example, for honeybees, for example, the horse, for example, the monkeys, and the pigs, for example. You can understand the context of the verse, and you can see that definitely there is a wisdom behind mentioning this particular animal. The Quran did not mention all animals. It mentioned probably 10 animals or so, around that figure, you see. So every single animal of those, you see, actually there is a value, there is a wisdom which the Quran is directing our attention towards it. Mm-hmm. So we have to look for that. Yeah? Mm-hmm. For example, the wonderful organization of the ant community or the honeybee community. This is a lesson for man to learn. And many of the technologies that were advanced recently actually were created by trying to imitate the behavior of the animals. The airplane from birds. The submarines from diving animals, you see. Mm-hmm. So the Quran is directing our attention to the importance Allah has placed in some of these creatures, actually.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Nagar, do you think that a Muslim individual or a Muslim society have a special role towards animals, whether providing shelter, providing food, providing even treatment?
See, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is quoted to have said, an elderly lady was destined to hell because it just locked in a cat. She did not leave it outside to feed on whatever it could find. She locked it in until it was killed, the night. So Allah has condemned this lady to hell, actually, because it has treated this animal in an unfair and unjust way. The Quran and the hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sayings of Prophet Muhammad, direct our attention to the fact that every single creation in this universe, name it plant, animal, or even massive forms of matter, you see, liquids, gases, everything in that universe has got a memory, has got a feeling, has got a way of expression. It can understand and within its own limitations what's going around it. So we have to be kind not only to animals, but also to plants and to nature in general. And strangely enough, man has just started very recently to speak about conservation of nature. You see, the Quran is directing our attention to this 1400 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we have to be kind and generous to everything in that universe, because man is a vicegerent on earth, and he is trusted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take care of the environment he is living in. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Nagar, let's speak more simple about animals in universe, and why it's preferred to keep a cat in house rather than the dog.
You see, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is quoted to have said, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَا تَدْخُلُ بَيْتًا فِيهِ كَلْبَ أَوْ صُورَةً. The angels will never enter a house where there is a dog locked in that house, or a statue. Surah here means not just an ordinary picture, a full-size statue. And this was because when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, most of the world actually was idol worshipping, the worshipping statues. He wanted to prevent this from the understanding of people. And if we look into the history of man on earth, we can find from the sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that humanity lived on the true religion, believing in one God, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, between Adam and Nuh, which is a very long span of time. And then some of the devils came to the people of Nuh and told them, many of the pious people amidst yourselves have passed away. If you put their clothes on pieces of rods and sit them on chairs in front of their homes, people can remember them and act according to what they were doing. And then you can distribute piety amidst the people. Mm-hmm. So they started doing this. Of course, the generation who did this, they don't worship these statues. But later on, people came to worship statues. And this is how statues were, or idol worshiping in general, was introduced to man. And throughout the history of man, you find people deviating and worshiping idols. Allah will send the messenger to bring you back to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they turned their back again and started worshiping idols. And it went on from Nuh to Hud alayhi salam, to Salih alayhi salam, to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Today we find in our community, in the 21st century, people living in different parts of the world, worshiping idols, worshiping snakes, worshiping cows, worshiping different animal rats. In India, they worship cows, rats, snakes. Southeast Asia, they worship the statue of Buddha is worshipped actually. They bow in front of it, they donate for it. So idol worshiping is the form of satanic inspiration into the human back memory. And that's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the dog is a dirty animal. Mm-hmm. Whatever you try to clean it, the saliva of the dog is full of viruses, of bacteria, of fungi, and whatever you clean it. Mm-hmm. It can really bring many diseases to people who accommodate it in their own homes. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Prophet said you can accommodate a cat, but not a dog. Mm-hmm. A dog can keep it in the garden and use it for guarding your place, for hunting, but not for keeping it inside the house.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, if we move to the creation of animals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَ كُلَّ دَابَّةٍ مِمَا فَمِنْهُمْ يَمْشِي عَلَى بَطْنِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ يَمْشِي عَلَى رِجْلَيْنِ. How can understand this verse?
We'll come to this verse, inshallah. It's coming in and what we are discussing. But today we know that the bulk of any living being, the bulk of the body of any living being, so whether plant or animal or human, is water.
Yeah.
A newly born baby is 90% water. A grown-up man is between 65% and 70% water. A grown-up lady between 60% and 65% water. Some of the animals, the ratio of water in their bodies exceed 90%. Some of the plants, the water exceeds 90%. So the bulk of the body of all living beings is water. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. Verily, we have made out of water every living being. Not only this, but you can see that the metabolic activities, the biological functions of the body cannot take place in the absence of water. If you want to digest your food, you need water. If you want to form blood, you need water. If you want to clean your body from its excretions, you need water. Sweat, you need water. Eye drops, you need water. Tears, you need water, and so on. So all the biological functions cannot take place in the absence of water. Not only this, but Allah is directing our attention to the fact that the earliest creation of life was in water. And life inhabited land only very late in the history of the earth. The oldest form of life is recorded to have taken place 3.8 billion years ago. The earliest form of land life does not exceed 4.4 million years. So between 3.8 billion and 4.4 million. So the verse entails all these facts.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Zaghloul Nagar, we thank you very much for being with us. Ihab and Ibrahim, thank you very much. Well, that's all for today's episode of Reflections. Hope you enjoyed it and see you again. Until then, goodbye.